Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we're here with the one and only Keith David, three-time Emmy winner. You've seen him in so many shows and movies the last year. So, Keith, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
I appreciate it.
Now, we're here talking, we can talk about several things you have going on. First off, I guess most timely is Greenleaf is back for season four here on the OWN network. You play Bishop James Beef, running that Memphis mega church across Lynn Whitfield. To tell our listeners, if our listeners have been up to the show, what can we expect from season four without really spoiling anything? But you know, remind us where we left off at the end of season three, and you know what we should look for in four.
Well, we left in season three with a new with a Harmony and Hope trying to take over the church, and us vowing to get it back. And when you see what happens when we attempt to do that.
What was it like to show itself when you first, you know, when you first heard the pitch or you first read that initial pilot years four seasons ago, that you know that you were like, oh, I really love this subject matter. Is it something with the church or just the chance to work with Lynn, or what was it that made you, you know, sign on board? Because you do anything at this point in your career, but what was it that you were like, oh, Greenleaf, this is my show?
Well, all the above, but I used to want to be a preacher myself, and so this was like the fulfillment of a fantasy. I got to play a preacher in a family, and it's really a family drama. The church just happens to be the family business. So that was a great draw, and when I saw how good the writing was and how fleshed out and complex the characters were, I was very excited, and I was happy to come aboard.
Talk about Dish co-star Lynn Whitfield a little bit on just what makes it so great, you know, working with her.
Well, I mean, I've admired Lynn's work for years. We worked together only once in a reading, and you know, I've met her before, and had always relished an opportunity to get to work with her. So, and to get to work with her so closely, I discovered just why she is such the great actress that she is. She's very thorough. She's very smart. She's very, very smart. And as the seasons unfolded, I got to see exactly how smart she was and how caring she is about the characters that she plays, especially Lady May. And she was just a joy to work with. I look forward to working with her again.
Awesome. And then also, while we have you on here, we should also remind our listeners that you're going to be in an awesome new movie, 21 Bridges, also this fall. I believe the release is now in November. But it's Chadwick Boseman, disgraced NYPD detective, chance at redemption by leading a man for a cop killer in New York. And I believe you play his godfather and, you know, sort of mentor, senior police. What's it that tell us about, you know, Chadwick's like the biggest name in Hollywood now after Black Panther, but, you know, what's it like, you know, what's it like working with him and, you know, being his screen partner? You're playing his mentor on screen, but I bet you're sort of a mentor to him off screen too, because he probably, let's face it, grew up watching a lot of your stuff.
Well, you know, he's a very exciting young actor, and 20 years ago, I voiced the Black Panther in an animated series, and we only did the one episode, hoping that it would turn into, you know, a regular series. But you know, they weren't ready for that at that time, and so 20 years later, here it comes, and we get to see a movie about the Black Panther, who is a very exciting Marvel character. And Chadwick just plays the fire out of it. He is a very exciting young actor, and I had a great time working with him.
Awesome. What obviously we haven't seen 21 Bridges yet. You know, I look forward to reviewing it. I think the release date, it was good September. I think it got bumped back to November. So I haven't seen it yet. But give our listeners, you know, how does it compare to, you know, other stuff in the genre? You know, what's the reason, you know, why should we come check it out?
Well, one of the things that excited me from the beginning was that the, you know, we've seen stories about, you know, dirty cops and cops on the take and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I mean, they usually are, you know, pretty believable situations. But when I read this, the, you know, how it unfolds from the very beginning, you can really see this happening. I mean, it's like this could be taken out of a True Files episode. You know, you can imagine seeing this on 48 Hours or something like that. So that was very exciting, and J.K. Simmons is also in it, and I've always loved his work, and I think you'll really enjoy how everything, you know, how smart Chadwick's character is, and how dedicated he is. And you see a man in law enforcement with some integrity. That's another beautiful thing to see in these days.
Absolutely. Well, I can't wait to see that. I think I'm trying to – we've seen you in so much over the years. I think the very first thing, you know, that I remember seeing you in was Platoon in 86, you know, Oliver Stone. And, man, every time I think about that movie, you look down that cast and so many of you guys became stars. I mean, you had Charlie Sheen, Willem Dafoe, Tom Berenger, Forrest Whitaker, Johnny Depp, the singer of Liller was in there too. Man,
yeah, Corey.
Yeah, Corey. Did you guys, I mean, looking around that cast, I mean, just take me into that, you know, that ensemble of, you know, you guys are singing, what is it, the Tracks of My Tears, you know, with Smoking Weed and everything. There's like a camaraderie between all of you guys. But at the time, I mean, you couldn't have known you guys would have all gone on to do such great things. But speak a little just sort of that bond you guys had as actors, you know, for Oliver.
Well, we got 2 weeks to rehearse and live like a rifle platoon, and in those 2 weeks, we never called each other by our actual names. We thought we called each other by our character names, and we really got to, you know, live that reality. In fact, Captain Dye said at the end of those 2 weeks, we were really beginning to look like and behave like a real rifle platoon, and I discovered that, you know, being a strong link in a great chain could be a great experience. You know, the Vietnam War was a very controversial war, you know, in our country's history. And nobody wanted to be there. But we got to have some understanding of what it was like to actually be there. And you're right, there was a wonderful, wonderful ensemble of men, and I think that the subsequent careers that everybody has enjoyed since then was the well-earned and well-deserved.
Absolutely. I mean, you go from doing a harrowing, you know, really serious, somewhat depressing movie, like, you know, a Vietnam War movie like Platoon, and then you can also years later do one of the more side-splitting comedies ever with There's Something About Mary. You played the, you know, dad, you know, Ben Stiller has to come over to, you know, Cameron Diaz, and on the prom night, the zip, you know, gets his Bub the Franks and the zipper. Were you guys cracking up on set as much as we were watching that thing? I mean, that's still one of the funniest things ever.
Yeah, we have some. I mean, I would love to see the gag reel on that one. We had a fantastic time.
Was the bean above the Frank line in the script by the Farrellys, or what in that scene was improv? Anything?
Oh, just a couple of reaction shots, but you know, a lot of it was on the page. But we got to pad the payroll a little bit, which was great.
Hilarious. We won't run through all your roles, but one final one I remember that stuck out for me was when you were in was Armageddon. You were sort of that government figure trying to pull the plug on Shin and, you know, going up against Billy Bob Thornton, who wanted to keep it going. Any memories of, you know, working with Michael Bay on that? I mean, that talk about a big cast like in Platoon. This had to also really start the cast, but you were in there holding your own with those guys. But any memories of that one real fast?
Oh, I remember it was another great experience. You know, one of the things that was significant for me about it, you know, once I had read for the role, you know, they hadn't intended for General Kimsey to be a black man. And so there was a lot of back and forth about that. And I reminded them that Colin Powell was a five-star general. So finally, after weeks of back and forth, I got the part, which was, another wonderful opportunity for me. And I was very, very, very glad to be there because it was another great cast.
Absolutely. You seem to find out through the big cast. All right. Well, in recent years, you've sort of found a whole other, you know, skill set, winning 3 Emmys, doing voiceover work on a bunch of different documentaries. How did you fall into that? I mean, you were an on-screen, a famous face on-screen for so long, but you've found a whole new lane here with that. And, you know, what's the key to a good voiceover delivery or even picking the right project like that?
Well, I mean, you know, many times you audition like anybody else and it was a very, very exclusive white boys club when I came into it. I mean, there weren't terribly many black men in doing voiceovers. It was just
right.
A very small handful.
You had maybe James Earl Jones or Morgan Freeman. That's probably about it around that time.
No, you had also Adolf Caesar, and he was just a handful of guys, and it was hard to break into. But I kept auditioning. Finally, I started getting requested, and. You know, the rest is history. I mean, I've been very fortunate in that arena as well. And then I met Ken Burns, and you know, I've done 6 projects with him, and won an Emmy for 3 of them. There was another man, Percy Rodriguez, who was just a wonderful voice actor. I mean, he was a wonderful actor. And he was he was the first black man to have a series regular back in the 60s in Peyton Place.
Yeah, yeah.
But his voice was incredible. You may remember him as the High Commander in Star Trek, the first incarnation of Star Trek.
Yes, of course. Well, keep on doing the voiceover, but also keep being on screen because we love your screen presence. Anything else you want to tease before we hop off here? I know we got Greenleaf coming up. We got 21 Bridges this fall. Any other projects you want to tease?
Well, in November, if you're in the New York area, I'm going to be doing a show based on the music of Nat Cole.
Oh, that's amazing.
I call it Let There Be Love.
And this is on Broadway.
No, it's going to be at the Queens Performing Arts Center. And I'll be singing the music of Nat King Cole, which is something I love to do.
That is going to be awesome. One of the best voices of time. All right. Thanks for that teaser. All right, everybody check that out. Nat King Cole, Greenleaf, 21 Bridges, tons of stuff to catch up with Keith David. So thanks so much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
I appreciate you, man.
All right. See you, sir.
Bye-bye.